Maybe I'll start. Maybe you know what I'll maybe I'll do is I'll start have I'll find the Alex Jones of fitness and have him on my. Maybe I am the Alex Jones of fitness.
100%.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a 3-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Yeah, I don't like McConaughey either. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bears, One Cave. You're back. We had a couple episodes without you. I missed you dearly. I thought you were not well, but I'm glad to see you're back.
I'm glad I'm still a part of the show.
Yes.
I thought I was going to lose it to Sickler.
No.
Who do you think did the best? Because I'll tell you, I feel like closest to this show is Bobby Lee, because I feel like me and Bobby have same kind of...
You both have the same personality disorder, yeah?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But Sickler, everyone... I mean...
Sickler's so great.
I got comments of like, why the fuck is Bert even on this show? And I was like, oh, thanks, guys. I was like, wow.
Well...
I guess you guys like your stepdad more?
Huh? No, I mean... He is, I think it's like you and I, he and I have great chemistry. Yeah. He's an old friend. He's hilarious, man.
I fucking love Sickler.
He's so funny, man.
I can't wait till you shoot a movie and I get to do one with Sickler and everyone's like, well, that's the real team.
I almost was going to be gone I got a movie offer. Okay.
Yeah.
This is hilarious the way that it's during COVID, right? So yeah. There's all these precautions now. So the movie offer was arrive to shoot the movie out of state, and we need you to arrive. Your first day of shooting is November 28th, which is 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And I go, I go, can I arrive like the 27th?
Yeah.
So that I can have Thanksgiving with my family. And they were like, no. So... They go, but we only need you until December 20th.
Okay.
So that's just under a month.
All right.
And I talked it over and we're like, I think we should do it. So I was like, okay, I can do this. Another day goes by and they go, we need you to arrive actually November 21st, 1 week before you start shooting. So you can quarantine.
Yeah.
And everybody in the production is going to do that. And I go, okay, so then I talked to Christina. I was like, we'll bring the family out. You guys will stay there.
I'm already guessing no family?
No. They said, that's okay. Yeah. I go, you guys stay with me 2 weeks. Then you go home and I'll finish out the movie. Next day they go, we need you the 21st, but we also need to be able to keep you till January 8th. And I go, why? And they said, well, it's a COVID precaution that if someone tests positive during production and they need to halt production, they have to be able to keep you to be able to finish the shoot.
Oh,
so I go,
shit.
Okay, so, but will I, they're like, you'll only be there that late if it goes over. I'm like, so through Christmas and through New Year's. And they're like, possibly, but they're like, don't forget, nobody else wants to stay, you know, either. Everybody wants to go home. So I'm like considering it and I'm like, well, let me talk to the producers and the director about this. And then right 15 minutes before that call, they go, hey, the studio just called us. And your arrival date now has to be November 16th. And I go, for what? And they go, they just want more of a buffer of quarantine. And I go, I'm out. You just turned like 12 days of shooting into a 7-week commitment. And I go, there's no way I can do
That's
it.
That's crazy.
So I would have been here and it definitely would have been the Bert and Sickler show.
Jesus Christ. You know, yeah. Sickler by episode two, yeah. We'd just be like, are you really tired from laughing at each other? And he'd be like, yeah, we need to start talking.
Yeah, you guys just going back and forth with your laughs.
Wait, so that is crazy. That is crazy.
I know, man.
I've gotten to the quarantine thing as bullshit in my head.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I'll take a COVID test, but I've spent a great deal in COVID tests.
I bet.
Like, everyone last night got home, nurse meets us at the front door, you know, and I quarantine for the 4 days on the ride home. Uh-huh. So like on the bus ride home from Chicago to here, we stop somewhere in Sedona. We stop places where we get at our Airbnb, and then we have zero contact. So we're kind of quarantining on our way home.
Yeah.
Except for Ron has to go to the bathroom and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then we get tested. But yeah, I think it's ridiculous that, I mean, when we did the big show for Go Big Show, fucking Go Big Show for TBS.
Go Big Show?
That's the my game show coming out in January. And God, so
you've done more during quarantine than anybody in the pandemic. I mean, like, you had the special come out, you had a Netflix series come out, you've done more live dates, and you also have a game show coming out, and you have like four podcasts.
Yeah. I've been really hustling during
this
pandemic.
I mean, you really have been.
The only thing I haven't done is I've been really good with not drinking during the pandemic.
You have been, or you have not?
I think if I live my life.
I did talk to you the other day, and you're like, I'm pretty drunk right now.
The run of this tour home, I was like, I'm pretty sure I have stomach cancer.
I got to ask you about this.
What?
Because I've always said this, and I've known it to be true. I've hung out with you countless times drinking, and when you drink, I don't have any fucking clue that you've been drinking too much. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll be like, I'm fucking hammered. And I'm like, you are? And you're like, yeah, I've been drinking since like fucking 8 o'clock this morning. Can't tell. On the live show, you were sloshed. Like,
oh, yeah.
A mess.
I do not know.
So wait, why was it so apparent you were drunk? You think?
I have no idea. Oh, So I get anxiety, oddly enough, when people say I need to drink, like on 21st birthday, uh-huh. initiation into fraternity, so like weddings, like I get anxiety about it, and I don't handle alcohol well in those moments because I feel like people are watching me, so I drink more.
Okay.
But normally when I do drink, I actually don't drink as much as people think. But I do drink. I can drink throughout the day and not be hammered.
You were so drunk.
I was so drunk. I was so drunk. I woke up on the plane the next day, and my arm hurt. And I was like, "Why is my fucking arm hurt?" And Andrew was like, "You arm wrestled everyone at the studios last night."
Everyone.
I was like, "No, I didn't." And then all my only
and
recollection.
You lost
I know
to everyone.
I lost to everyone. My only recollection of that was Annie saying to me, very confidently, like in a weird kind of energy, going, we get done, and he just, I don't know if this is accurate, but I remember him walking in going, I want to arm wrestle you. And I was like, what? And he goes, I could beat you in arm wrestling. I could beat you right now. And I was like, okay. But like, I love that energy, so yeah. I was like, fine.
Yeah.
And I remember him starting it, and I couldn't figure out where his energy came from. Like, was I talking shit about arm wrestling or something?
I was, by the way, so fucking stoned out of my mind.
My greatest moment ever is when Owen Gray showed his cock, the line you say directly after. Well, can people never see that now?
No, they can. They can go to our Reynolds page. Okay. It's if you go to my website, because it's off of the YMH virtual site, it's on tomsegura.com/rentals, and you can rent it.
That was the greatest. It's been a while since we've put it, since we've done it,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But that was one of the times I woke up in Hollywood. This sounds so fucking silly. I've got a handful of times, and it all happened this past week, handful of times where I woke up and I said, I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. I feel like I belong in this business. I feel like I'm doing big things in this business for the first time. So often you see people like Sebastian, it's very, very quantifiable when he's sold out 4 shows at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Burr, 18 shows at the Wilbur.
Yeah, yeah.
Those moments. And for me, I sound silly, but it was like waking up and going, we didn't know numbers at the time, how many people watched. Now we do. And we can both say it was more than we expected, and we're very happy with that.
Yeah.
But I woke up going, that was, and it's, I know it's just us looking at a dude's dick at point times, but that was legit entertainment. Like
it was so fun.
That was my movie premiere.
Yeah.
I woke up the next day going like, fuck yeah. And then Coupled by the Cabin was successful that week. It was like the number one show. And I literally was like at the top of the thing going like, God, man.
Isn't that crazy too? Then there'll be like an article about you next month that goes like, overnight since like he just popped, and you're like, I've been doing this like 20 some years, man.
It's, you know, what's interesting is there's I hope I'm saying this right. There are two different types of success. Like, one is me and you, what we do for our fans, which is not it's not like commercially acceptable at times.
Right. Yeah. No.
And then the cabin, which, by the way, also isn't commercially acceptable at times either.
Sure.
Is, but then all of a sudden that next day after we did that, I started getting calls from like Maxim and GQ, like, hey, do you want to do an article? And I was like, this is how people get in trouble.
Yeah.
Because I have two different faces in this business. I have this one, which is like direct to like the people that want to come see us do live shows. It's what we do for a living.
Right.
And then you have this other side of Hollywood.
It's a totally different thing.
It's a totally different thing.
And I think it's actually like the line is growing larger between them, where you go like, and I think the funny thing is that those mainstream, traditional, successful people are all the ones looking at us going like, how do you guys do this? Like, I want to do I want to not be, you know, bowing down to some corporate entity or some suit telling me that that joke doesn't work, that you should say this. And like, you know, they're taking their orders from people, whereas we get to do what we want to do.
We talked about Fat Astronauts, and I started writing the outline on my phone on the notes section of just beating it out.
Yeah.
And I wrote it for the people watching this, right? I didn't write it for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Hollywood wouldn't get it. You know, come all over a spaceship. Like, like they would just
look
like,
look at that.
I love that fucking poster.
And I love that whoever first suggested Fatstronauts.
Fatstronauts.
These are amazing.
These make me
What does it say on the last one on the bottom? The one before it says, come on, NASA, don't be stingy. Only these two TikToks. Okay, all right.
Oh, by the way, the one thing pointed out, everyone that knows I have a hard time mispronouncing. Okay. What is that?
That Christy Mack.
That's Christy Mack.
Yeah.
She is definitely getting a cameo in our movie.
By the way, Christy Mack has an open offer.
What?
I
heard that wrong.
to come on Fat Astronauts, the movie.
Yeah.
And train us.
It was.
It's hilarious, man.
It was funny to impress the next day. It was like, because everyone, as soon as things were looking good for the cabin, everyone was like, hey, we want to get you on this. And then they're like, so tell us about the cabin. And I was like, well, hey, did you see me and Tom had our dicks tethered together? And they're like, huh? On the cabin? And I was like, no, different project, but same energy. Same energy. But I started writing the thing, and I was writing it for like, I was just coming up with ideas so I could send you the outline, and then we could, and like the opening scene, I'm sure that we won't use this, but the opening scene was the premise of the movie. I was like, you know, they've sent these elite athletes up there into space, and what they don't know is these elite athletes need to burn energy like a fucking golden retriever. Mm-hmm. They just send St. Bernards up because that's who could really enjoy the space, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have live in an apartment, get a bull mastiff. It doesn't want to go outside much.
Yeah.
and so I had this scene of an astronaut trying to hang himself in space because he was so sad. And he was like, I can't do it. You see the note written in the noose and it goes around his neck. And he's like, ah.
Oh, that's great.
I say this so much, but I love this podcast. I really do.
It's so fun, man.
It's so much more my personality. I remember doing morning radio. Do you remember when you do morning radio as a kid, as a younger comic, and you'd get a cool one who let you do whatever you want?
Yeah.
Like Elliot in the Morning, Cowhead, like Preston and Steve, where it was like, you'd be like, are you doing breaks?
Well, they get how to have fun.
Yeah.
And they also, here's the thing, they're engaged. That's the biggest thing about radio, is like you go in to do radio a lot of times, and it'll be like a guy who looks up, you're the comic? What's that? And then he's like, all right, we're back in 30. And what was your name again? All right, I'll toss it to you when we come back. And you're like, hey, man, are you just going to ask me anything? He's like, I'm going to say you're at the Funny Bone. So I'll just say that. And you just do what you want to do. And you're like, okay.
Dude,
so.
It's funny to me because I remember when you're older, like I remember doing Rover's Morning Glory and they were like, and then you could just go and you go, but I'm older. I appreciate that you're giving me that width. But when you're younger and you don't deserve to be there. And then if you got, like, I remember one time realizing that like Elliot in the Morning, Elliot had had questions. I didn't never realize that he had questions before.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, this guy fucking knows me.
Like, right.
And then you realize that they did the interview. They did the process to have questions ready to ask. When you started to go off the rails, they could bring you back. And you're like, oh shit, that's what this podcast is like for me, except we don't, I mean, it would be great if we had fucking their producers here. Not saying Nadav's not amazing, but like if we had like a content, you know, there's one guy that I am all over the fucking map today. There's one guy who does a lot of, he's a writer. I fucking forget his name, but he's got these really great insights on porn.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's written these amazing articles. He's losing his shit right now. He's written a few articles on me, and I think he's probably written an article on you. But his specialty is like these subgenres of porn that maybe you don't know about, and then he writes about, and then you're like, what?
Well, he writes about them in what? In
God damn it, what's this fucking guy's name?
Like in like magazines and stuff? What does he write there?
In magazines. Oh, this is really bothering me. He wrote an article. Hey, good luck. He wrote an article about Spice, the Spice Channel. Do you remember the Spice Channel?
Yeah, of course.
See if you can find an article about Spice Channel. Oh, hang on. Who wrote it? What's his name? That's probably it. What's his name?
It just says by Dig Editors.
I would almost.
What if you click on that? Isn't that a hyperlink too?
If you say his name, I'll know it. And I feel fucking bad for not remembering it.
How the Spice Channel.
He has his website.
Michael Stahl?
Michael Stahl.
That's it.
Michael Stahl.
Okay.
I'm almost certain it's Michael Stahl.
Wait, sounds like you're not convinced it's Michael Stahl, though.
I'm not certain. Let me check out. Stahl. Let me see if I can.
Can you make that? Have you ever met him? You know what he looks like? Because there's a photo of him there.
I think that's him. I'm almost certain that's Michael Stahl. Let me see if I can. Maybe he has my text.
Look.
Stahl.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Michael Stahl.
It is?
It's Michael Stahl.
Okay.
This guy's fucking awesome.
Okay.
This guy's awesome. Hold on. This guy is. He wrote this one about the Spice Channel. Let me just call him. Let me just call him real quick.
Let's do it. Let's call him.
This guy's awesome. And I said to him, I was like, man, I wish I had you for Two Bears, One Cave, because the shit you're into is like kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
I apologize. By the way, Michael, you're watching this going now. Michael.
Hey, what's up, man?
It's Bert Kreischer.
You're telling me.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, you're on Two Bears, One Cave live on podcast. Is that okay? We're recording it?
Sure.
Okay. So I was just telling Tom about, remember we had the conversation? I was like, God, I wish we had you as a producer for Two Bears, One Cave, because your insights in porn are like are so specific and bizarre. So can you pitch a couple of the articles you've written to Tom that are like, oh, you didn't know anything about that?
Well, I mean, the first one that comes to mind is the one that you said that you really loved, which was the article I did on the plast phenomenon. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. What is that? What is that?
So PLAST, P-L-A-S-T, it stands for, pussy, legs, ass, give me some tits,
P-L-A-S-T?
Hands. I don't have a piece of paper in front of me. I can't think of it all. It's this Reddit
plast
forum where basically almost all of them are like insanely hot women pose nude, but the gist is that they have to get at least 4, 5, or 6 of these body parts into the frame. So they come up with all different kinds of ways so that you can get that number in there, like different poses. And a lot of the women have kind of taken that upon themselves as like challenges, these models who post nudes like all over Reddit, like for free.
That's like not
this.
What we're looking
at. We're not, yeah. Nadav, you're doing this wrong.
You're so bad at this.
Yeah, we just type in Michael Stahl plast and see what comes up.
Yeah, it was for Mel Magazine, if that helps. If you go to mailmagazine.com, that's where that story was.
Mailmagazine.com?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. So, keep going.
So there was that one, and then, the contest about or the piece about how far guys can reasonably shoot their loads.
How far?
This is content I'm talking about.
Michael.
Yeah, so there's like,
hang on. I'm going to pass you to Tom.
Hey, Michael. How you doing, man? It's Tom Segura. How are you?
Nice to meet you, buddy.
Nice to meet you too, man. So you did an article about how far most men can reasonably shoot their loads?
Yeah, so there's this internet legend about this supposedly American man named Horst Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly Horst Schultz shot his load 18 feet, 6 inches.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hold on, Michael. It is not the executive chef from the Ritz-Carlton, okay? Yes. Nadav has pulled up pictures of the executive chef at the Ritz-Carlton.
We have this this program where we bring in like this special needs kid every week to Google things. So you're good at this.
Yeah.
Okay, so Horst Schultz, is he still with us? Is he alive, this guy?
Oh, he does not exist.
Oh, he does not exist.
It's a total internet legend.
Got you.
But I kind of discovered that story while researching for another piece, and my editors at Mel Magazine were just kind of like, we should look into this, you know? So I was sort of like, all right. And it's completely unfounded. There's no like video or anything like that. But it just kind of raised the question of, like, how far can we, like, actually shoot our loads?
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of interviewed a couple of people who are, like, you know, they go on the internet and they post, like, these videos of themselves, like, shooting their loads. And there's different kinds of supplements that they try and take to, like, make their loads bigger, which could, you know, possibly make them shoot farther, all kinds of shit. And then basically I came to the conclusion that, like, tops like 5 or 6 feet is like the crazy like you have to, like, first of all, like, be in shape. You have to be in like peak physical condition. You have to be probably in like your age prime and train yourself to do this. And then even then, like, if you can shoot at 5 feet, that's like a lot.
I gotta tell you something. So, you might need to write a new article, because I do 5 feet pretty regularly.
Really? What's the distance between my dick and my mouth?
Yeah. Tom Segura is defying all laws of physics.
But I have noticed that distance has gone down with age. It used to be an automatic distance thing, and now sometimes it's very sad. And
I'm going to definitely check this out now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm going to measure it for sure.
No, and your dick, like literally, like your penis muscles, they do like weaken from use, you know, over age. So that is like a legitimate reason why when you're older, you know, it's your muscles that help propel this stuff, like, you know, shoot it further.
How about this?
So, like,
Michael,
legitimately, when you get older, like, you should not be like shooting as far, because, well, your muscles.
We need a judge. Use. We need a judge for our contest. Would you measure when we stand next to each other and jerk off?
Sure. Absolutely.
I'll pass you back to Bert.
Michael. I'm going to start a three-way chat thread with me, you, and Tom, and let's just text each other stuff we find interesting, okay?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Were you just texting me a whole bunch, Bert?
No, I don't think I was.
Oh, okay.
No.
As you and I were talking about the phone, I was getting a bunch of texts, no problem.
No, you definitely weren't. Hey, have you written an article on quicksand porn yet?
Quicksand porn?
Oh, you don't know what it is?
No.
I feel like I'm stumping the expert.
No, but it sounds to me like I probably should.
Check out quicksand porn, and then check out a subculture in that called sinkers. They're people that Google out. They have maps of where great quicksand is.
What makes your dick hard, film, man?
But it's just, can I tell you? Oh. And then I want to know why.
We'll be back on with Tom for a second.
Hold on. All right, here we go.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so here's another one. Bert, you can still hear me a little, right?
Yeah.
So I also did a piece. I just thought you'd find this interesting and maybe also relevant to you. I did a piece on small penis porn.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one.
So basically, you know, it's like guys that, you know, and as it turns out, most of them are actually like average, you know. It's just the guys that are in porn are just so massive relatively, although they're not as big as you might think.
So wait, you're saying that most porn stars are actually average size?
No, most porn stars are bigger than average, but they're not as big as you think.
I got you.
There aren't guys like with legitimate 12-inch dicks. I mean, like, they exist, I guess, in the world, but that is like insanely big.
Right.
Most porn guys are actually like even as little as like 7.
Uh-huh.
And they just use all kinds of like, you know, camera tricks and things like that to make it look even bigger. The girls are always very small.
Hey, why'd you want to tell me that?
but there's this subculture, this subgenre called small penis porn, and it's guys, a lot of them are like average size really, but even some of them are smaller, and a lot of it gets into like humiliation porn. So a lot of these guys that are like really small, 2-3 inches.
Is that the article right there?
Jesus.
Like, or is that Ginger Tim Brewer?
At some point, you know, they were like maybe made fun of.
Yes.
You know, when they were like developing or something, and they actually like that. Like, that's the thing that they need to like get off.
Yeah.
So there's tons of like small penis humiliation.
I gotta tell you, like, I'm cool. I like all types of jokes. Humiliation, like sex stuff, doesn't work for me. Like, yeah. it does not get me out. Yeah. But I'm fascinated to read this article and to learn about this.
Oh,
I'll send you a link to just all the stuff that I've done for this like one particular website.
Yeah.
And any other thing, because that's where a lot of my fun. This one place, Mel Magazine, is where a lot of my real fun stuff goes. But I've done some other stuff too that I'll send.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
I'd love to read it.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah. I appreciate it. I'm going to start a chat thread between me, you, and Tom.
Yeah, no, of course. And Bert, I actually, before I let you go, I just, you know, I know you're so busy and stuff like that, but two things. One, just really been enjoying The Cabin so far. I'm a couple episodes in, really, really enjoying it. I tried to get to do some coverage for it, of it, but it didn't work out. That's where I'd interview you again. So I just wanted to tell you congrats on that, man.
Super oh, thank you, brother. You. Thank you. Awesome, man.
All right, cool.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fellow the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silence.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's an interesting fucking guy.
Yeah, he is. By
Plast,
the way,
hey, I will really want to see pictures of Plast. This is really cool.
Do you know that, by the way, I did press, I don't know, a week or so ago, and because I think this is our artwork for the show behind you, and The Cabin's official artwork is you and bear.
Yeah.
So whoever I was doing press with was like, congratulations on everything. And I was like, cool. And they're like, let's talk about The Cabin. And I go, oh, okay. And then I was like, yeah, I did this thing. And they're like, yeah, but like, let's talk about like the rest of the episodes. And I was like, well, I'm not in them. And they were like, what do you mean? And I go, The Cabin is Bert's show. And they go, it's Bert. It's you and Bert. I go, no, I'm in one episode.
Yeah.
And they go, I thought it was you guys together. And I was like, I think you're just confusing the two artworks.
I saw the post, the billboard on Hollywood, whatever. And I was like, I thought it was the Two Bears, One Cave logo. And then I was like, oh, I was like, not bad cross promotion, Netflix. They know what the fuck they're doing. Yeah. I wouldn't mind them just putting you on it and me getting a lot more views.
It was fun. It was fun, though. But it's funny that they do. They're like, oh, that's your show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Netflix is.
Can you find Plast pictures or no?
I mean, I wish. Please show.
We are going to get a new Googler. I hope you know that. You can. Okay, so like that girl right there, the second photo.
Yeah.
That's clearly what he's talking about, right?
No, that's plastic porn.
But it looks like she's doing everything he said, everything in the frame.
It's PLAST is the, go to Reddit. Go to Reddit and find the pictures on Reddit. Because I think it's like a, Reddit's the next level. The thing I was going to say while we wait a half an hour to get these pictures.
Yeah.
Is we forget how good the people at Netflix are. Because they're so like, kind of let you do what you want to do.
Yeah, they're great.
You totally forget how fucking talented they are. I forget, but all the things you start thinking they're your ideas, and then you're like, oh, that was, I think, Netflix. I remember, there's a million of those that happened with The Cabin. Our executive, Ben Cavey, fucking was like, literally.
That's what it is. It's two T's.
Yeah, yeah.
P-L-A-S.
Yeah. Toenails and tits.
Yes, that's what it is.
He was great for The Cabin. He drove that show, but then you forget, like, Ben Cavey was our exec. And, but you forget, like, you got to get toenails in, too. By the way, I hate that I'm talking about Netflix while we're looking at this.
Okay,
so. Now, but yeah, I just want to say thanks to everyone at Netflix. I just want to say thanks to all the marketing teams. You guys murdered it. Ben Cavey murdered it. You guys murdered it. We're going to pivot. We're going to pivot to this. Holy shit.
Way to go, Netflix.
You guys murdered it. By the way, this is a great live.
Pussy, legs, ass, toenails, tits. That's what it is.
Pussy, ass, legs, toenails, and tits.
Tits, yeah. Okay, I'm in.
Oh, this is brilliant.
This is great.
This is what the internet's made for.
Yeah.
Pussy, ass, legs, toenails, and tits.
My whole energy just changed.
Look at her bender. But like, yeah. It's like they're having fun.
Oh, she's having a great time.
She's like, toenails. Clearly. Painted on with whiteout.
Yep. Clear.
That girl didn't do it right.
She didn't do it right.
No, she didn't do it right. Keep going. You got to bend your toenails. Yeah. You got to bend your toenails.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. Oh, I like her. Yeah. I like her, Santa Claus.
My first time revealing my smile on Reddit. Hope you like this package. Jesus.
Who the fuck
puts it? It's so crazy to post your asshole on anything. To be like, here's my asshole. Jesus Christ. But by the way, I'm into it. I like it. I like that it's a new search thing. I've never typed
in
think
blast, it's so awesome. I love that someone was like,
I'm going to shoot my jizz 18 feet after this.
I'm curious to see how this started. Can you find information on this at the beginning of this?
Do you know who you're fucking asking right now?
Yeah. I believe in you. Can I tell you that I love that woman does not look stereotypically. When you think of this genre, you think this is an internet subculture, like almost like a 4chan type fun, like weird thing. What is plast porn? This is definitely his article. This is my Michael Stahl's article. OnlyFans account. We need to get an OnlyFans.
So he said it like, I think he's saying that it started recently, right? Is that what it's saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Pussy. Oh. Pussy, legs, ass,
smile, toenail. Oh, so you got to be smiling.
You got to be smiling. That's why we like it.
That's right. Because like, usually they want to be like, oh, I got to pay my rent.
Oh, let's
but
come up.
When they smile, you get the illusion that they're enjoying themselves.
Let's come up with one
hotter.
For our fans.
For our fans?
Yeah. So it's balls, no dick, like just balls, toenails.
No, you don't want to see all these guys' toenails. What are you talking about?
I am really into fucked up toenails. Like
what?
Really into fucked up toenails.
What do you mean?
Like, by the way, this is a subgenre I'm into. Type in ultramarathon, not disgusting toenails. By the way, I'm also into that. I could watch toenail removals all day long.
Like, no! Have
you ever seen my feet are killing me?
Yeah, I couldn't.
Type in ultramarathon.
What are you doing?
Marathon, yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
I'm about to either come or sneeze. What would be our thing that you'd want to see, guys? Let's do something where they can be in Speedos. So so we can share them on our show. So how about underwear?
Okay.
Underwear. Make it so they have a hard time getting everything into the picture.
Right, exactly.
underwear behind the ear.
Okay. Behind the ear. Armpits.
Armpits. It's got to have a cool name.
Oh, it already does. Ooh, beep.
Armpits. Curious. Like, what's with a look on their face? Yeah. Look, what's the scared?
Scared.
Yeah, scared.
So, no, scared would be first. So, Subeep. So, scared underwear behind ear armpits.
Yeah. Scoobeep.
Subeep.
Subeep.
Yep.
That's ours, guys. It's the Subeep challenge. So, scared underwear behind the ear armpit. Can you get behind the ear? You just got to get it like this. Let's not even tell them. Let's figure it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Subeep.
I won't be Subeep. Jacking off to that, but thanks for this.
And by
suggestion.
The way, that's for guys and girls.
Oh, yeah.
That's for guys and girls. If you want to do one.
Or you can just tell your lady to send the plast pictures in.
Yeah, that's so interesting that that would
Two
be
bears,
something.
TwoBearsOneCave@gmail.com.
Yeah, if you and your chick, we'll do plast. Where you're in the mirror taking the picture.
Oh.
Mplast.
Mplast.
I love
it. If you want to ask your lady to send a picture of her pussy and her tits and her toenails, please send it in.
There was a girl, Yoshi, mm-hmm. one time sent me a...
He sends wild shit.
He was like, hey, and I know you're into promotion for your special and your tour dates and
Did
stuff.
Did he say it like that? Because it doesn't sound like his voice.
I know it's not. Okay. He was like, hello, mate. It's good talking to you.
You have a new special coming out?
I bet I have it.
Hey, Bert.
Let's see if I got it. This is, by the
way,
do
you like to watch a girl drown while you jack off? And you're like, do you have that? And he's like, I have a couple underground videos.
No, that's not it. Yoshi, I don't have the god damn it.
He sent me a login from a major adult producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yoshi was like, this guy sent this to you.
Oh yeah, he does have a little. He said I know you have whatever. I'm going to say the words. He was like I know you, this might help with your promotion of your special, and I'm like, "Oh, cool." I think it was The Machine. Mm-hmm. Had just come out. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was Secret Time, and it was this girl. And you could tell, like, he hadn't, like, filmed it right. Like, it was, like, he had recorded and said, and go. You know? So she's, like, caught. Like, she's like, hey.
Yeah.
She's totally naked. She's like, hey. I'll tell you one thing. It starts to finger herself. She's like, I love. And then she pulls a fucking piece of paper out of her pussy. She goes,
oh yes, that, I remember. Yeah. He was having people do those for a minute. They were like, they were like pulling them out of their asses and their pussies, and it'll be like the name of your special, like, disgraceful, and you're like, I got it. Where am I gonna post this?
She pulls one out. She's like, the new season of Arrested Development, wrong one, and shoves it back up. Pulls out another one. The Tonight Show. No,
he told me one time. He goes, blowjobs are like handshakes in the porn industry. So, like, sometimes you can meet somebody and they'll just give you a blowjob. I was like, they'll just blow you? He's like, it's like a hello. I'm like, a hello? He's like, yeah, everybody does blowjobs.
We did Chicago Schaumburg one time. Mm-hmm. And he shows up. And I know him. And they were like, you know, she's like, can I get a guest spot? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I'm selling my DVD at the end. And he said, you know, I have a bunch of extra DVDs in my trunk. If you want, I'll give them to him. You can give them away with your DVD.
Oh, fuck.
It was such a bad idea.
Yeah.
It was the most aggressive fisting porns.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, guys, so here's the deal. If you buy one of my CDs.
You get a bonus
You
one.
Get a DVD from Yoshi that for free. And I fucking sold.
Everything.
I remember sitting down and going, I just made $1,000. I sold out of all my CDs or DVDs or CD, whatever I was selling. I sold out of every single one of them. And Tony Baldino goes, well, fuck, let's put one of Yoshi's DVDs in the bar television and see what you just gave everybody. And it opens with a girl fisting a girl's asshole. And Tony is crying. He goes, you just gave that to everyone. They're going to think of that and you together. And I was like, motherfucker. Yeah.
He's the funny thing is, like, he's such a, like, this derelict on paper, but he's the sweetest guy.
The
Yoshi
hardest,
is the sweetest guy.
The hardest I've ever laughed is him on your podcast with when there's a long time ago. I was in a, on a treadmill at some Fairmount Inn or someplace, and him on your podcast when he talked about getting dosed by Joey.
Oh, his two Yoshi's two super dose stories are two.
What's
of the
other one?
Dude, so he tells the banana bread story.
Hang on, right? Does everyone know Yoshi? Maybe we should explain who Yoshi is.
Yoshi Obayashi, he's a comedian.
He's a comedian.
And he worked in the adult industry for a long time and is connected to everybody there and also, you know, has a lot of comedy friends.
Very, very dark comedian. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like when you go, like what's dark? Like they talk about Brian Holtzman, Yoshi, yeah. Like those yeah. guys, like really dark. And also Korean, grew up in Japan.
And didn't know he was ethnically Korean. Like grew up being like, if there's one thing I hate, it's Koreans. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, I'm Korean. Because he's got a wild story. And he's got, if you go.
He's got a list of wild stories.
Oh my God. And like his upbringing story and everything with his mom and his dad, he told them in detail, like on early episodes of Your Mom's House, but he is legit, like he's hilarious. So his banana bread story is that he basically, Joey Diaz used to go and get like 2,500 milligram loaves of banana bread. Like this is the shit that Joey, who you know, would have a piece of, and he'd be like, slugs. I'm fucked. Right. And so, and that was his thing, is like give it away to people. And like, he'd be like, he would even warn people like,
dog,
you need to break that shit up, dog. Well, he's doing Brea improv. The banana bread is sliced in the green room. Oh. Yoshi goes in. He's like, huh, I like banana bread. And then
if I remember correctly, he said, oh, how pleasant. I have not eaten dinner yet.
Yeah. And then
I have not eaten dinner
yet. He said that Diaz walks in, sees it, and he goes, dog. He's like, did you eat the banana? He goes, yeah. And he goes, how much did you eat? And he goes, four slices. And he's like, oh, you're so fucked.
You're seeing the devil tonight. Oh. Yoshi goes, was there something in that? And then goes on stage.
Goes on stage.
And starts floating.
Mm-hmm. He said, I couldn't feel my leg after a while.
And then the best was, you said, you go, well, what did you do after that? And he said, I went to the parking garage and I just sat in my car. And you said, for how long? He said, 8 hours.
He went from, he got in his car and he said he started to drive back to LA from Brea. So for people that don't know, that's about a 60-mile drive. And he said he was pulling over every 200 or 300 yards. So he was driving down the freeway and then he would pull over and he'd be like, how far did I go? And like, he just went.
He got lost
yards.
At a Jack in the Box drive-in.
Yes.
Because he couldn't find the window. He kept circling it. And couldn't find the window. What's his other dose story?
Well, also on that drive. So he drove around. He said the Jack in the Box. People were like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm trying to find where to pay for the food. They were like, you're driving around the outside of it. You got to pull in the drive-through lane. And
like,
Joey Diaz.
He was hungry like a shark, just circling it.
Dude, he said Diaz called him at 6 a.m. and was like, how you doing? He's like, I'm still on the side of the road. And he said Diaz just laughed. And
yeah.
His other story was that he was visiting his friend. He's visiting his friend. You can and by the way, he says it like straight face, no emotion, and he's not performing. He's just like, I was visiting my friend, and my eyes were irritated, so I went like through my friend's things, took the Visine, poured it in here, then started to feel funny, and I called my friend, and he said, oh yeah, that's LSD in that. So he just poured LSD into his eyes. And he said it fucked him up for days.
Because you know, you don't, if you're doing LSD, you do a drop.
Yeah.
You know, when you're cleaning your eyes out, you're like 3, 4, 5, yeah. 6. I'm going to do one more round.
Yeah,
I know
and then
it says
he did
not
it,
to.
Both eyes. Yeah. Yeah. So he said he was completely out of his mind. I mean, freaked the fuck out.
He's got stories. He's an example of like when people talk about when people talk about what was podcasting, what it used to be like, and people would just go on and say anything.
Yeah.
He's got those stories.
I
remember him telling stories like that on my podcast where I was like, and then you just got on a plane and left. You know what story that is, right?
Yeah. And he,
I think he admitted to killing somebody.
I mean, the He told me that story, and I was like, "Do you have a warrant, like, out for you?" And he's like, "I don't think I can go back there."
Those were the guests. Like, when you got, I think me and you were those guests too. Is like when we were young, we just go on a podcast, just fucking wild gunning it. Just you want, like, because you knew what was successful in podcasting. And we would just, I remember leaving Rogan's and not knowing what I had said. That happened up until
I hated getting too high on his show early days because I would just panic.
Yeah,
and then I'd be like, "Dude, I'm just like a nervous wreck on this.
Yeah,
I need to, like, I can drink on your show. I feel like or smoke at the end."
I remember one time getting so high on his show that I couldn't tell if I was listening to his show or if I was on his show.
Yeah,
because I listened to it so much, I was like, this is really fucking me up.
I used to also tell him, like, "Hey man," like, he would go, "What do you got to go?" I go, "Well, we've been talking for 2 hours. Who do you talk to?" I don't talk to anybody for two hours, so, like, aren't we done? He would be like, "We can go longer." I was like, "But what are we gonna talk about? We've talked about everything."
I feel like it's weird I like doing Rogan now because it's gotten to be such a like a cultural, it's so different than it was. Not bad or good, I'm not shitting on it, but it's just like, it's so different now where it's like,
yeah,
Kanye West, Matthew McConaughey, fucking Tim Dillon and Alex Jones.
Well, it's funny because I told him, I go, "What's weird is that, like, I've known him now for, you know, 14 years or something." And I'm like, you know, from starting the podcast, and I go, "It's so weird that I open my phone and regularly your name is trending, and it's because, like, you gave an opinion on something, like something that you've said for years, but now it's trending." And I go, "It's just like, it is really this strange study of kind of fame and media and culture." But I'm like, "You've been saying this thing for 10 years. I've heard you say this 10, and then now you said it this week, and 50,000 people are discussing that you said this week."
It really is crazy. It really is bizarre. Like, when the
but isn't it kind of like, like you see that and you're like, I don't know how appealing that is. That, like, everything.
It's so. What's also a little weird is it's so not Joe. Like, Joe doesn't care about fame or any of this stuff.
He does a really good job of not engaging.
Of disconnecting.
Yes, he's like, "That's the thing that people are saying and doing about me, but I'm here doing this." And then he's like, "Yeah, I hang out with my family and I'm working out and I do my podcast." And, like, all this commentary is like a separate thing.
To push it off to the side, I mean, the Alex Jones episode on its own, like, it was so, like, I've never really listened to Alex Jones on his podcast. Not only because I don't really know about any of that shit. I'm afraid if I learn a little bit about it.
By the way, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he's nonsense.
Like, I'm not a big
you don't think that there's gay frogs that the CIA planted in the fucking water system?
That's not something really that he says.
Okay. Look it up.
Are you being serious?
He says, I mean, I guess it just depends if you want to look at him as, like, an entertainer or, you know.
Do you know he's younger than me?
Really?
How old is Alex Jones? I mean, he looks like he's, like,
yeah,
he's younger than me.
Like, yeah, that's weird.
That's so odd.
I would think, yeah. God, I think of him as, like, 10 or 15 years older.
Older than me. Like, yeah. I tell you what, his enthusiasm about stuff seems to be infectious.
Mm-hmm.
But he was doing, I've never gotten into any of the, like,
he
I remember.
A lot of people that really, like, really get excited about, I think, I have to imagine it's because they feel like, you know, it's fun that somebody is pushing buttons this hard, pushing against the establishment.
Yeah,
and making these outrageous claims. I mean,
I remember. I think Stanhope sent me, and this just speaks to, like, my interests. Like, he sent me, I think, something maybe that Alex Jones, Eddie Bravo, Stanhope, Rogan were all interested in. That's like Tower 9 or something, like that World Trade Center.
Yeah. They love this.
And I just had no interest in that. I was, because I can't even, and I know that this is going to offend people. They'll be like, because you're a fucking, like, people lose their shit. I can't even entertain the idea that our government would blow up the Twin Towers and ship plane fulls of people to Cuba and then have them restart.
Why?
I just think that's so fucking ridiculous that I go, that's not real. The fact that the Pizzagate, I just heard what Pizzagate was.
Yeah.
The fact that they...
He pushed that pretty hard.
Dude, a guy went in and with an assault rifle.
Yeah.
And like that, the idea that there are people that
the
can...
The Sandy Hook thing was cool.
What did he do with Sandy Hook?
Oh, he said that they were all actors, and he basically harassed the parents of murdered children for a number of years. But, you know, he's a cool guy.
I'm not... Yeah, I'm not... Let's just say that stuff isn't my interest. Like, I know that Tim Dillon's into the... Like conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm cool with you being into it, and I'm cool with hearing it and getting drunk and high on a tour bus and listening to someone talk about crazy ideas, and then just me just writing them off and going, yeah, the world doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll find the Alex Jones of fitness and have him on my. Maybe I am the Alex Jones of fitness.
Did you just have a breakthrough?
I am the Alex Jones of fitness. I am the fucking... I just realized...
Here's what we know so far.
As frustrated as Joe gets with me about my fitness talk...
Yeah.
I am the Alex
Jones... Because in a way, he almost talks to you like he would talk to Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He's like, hold on a second, Bert. Hold on a second. We need to check this out, man.
You can't get on a treadmill with a box of wine and run 7 miles.
So you got your... We know that your serve is impressive. I saw your golf swing.
Every now and then I'm right about Jeffrey Epstein, right? Like, I've got a great serve.
That's right.
I can win every now and then.
Yes. You have...
Oh, fuck me.
You have your... your serve. Your golf swing.
Golf swing is, legit. By the way, above tour average. Did you see that video? Pull it up real quick. Let's see it real quick. We could just see it real quick. Because this started a buzz in our comedy community where we are setting up a Ryder's Cup event. It is going down. And I'm telling you, I've already got... Go to my Instagram. It's on my Instagram. I'm sorry, Nadav. I should have given you better direction. I have videotaped my golf swing a lot. By the way, Andrew Santino, who claims he's a good golfer, has never videotaped his golf swing. Oh, little Alex Jones there, huh? Oh, that's me fucking hitting a perfect shot from here. Yeah. Volume. You got speed. Do you hear him? By the way, this is over at PXG.
Where's that?
This is in Arizona. And they have like...
The attitude's awesome.
Listen to this.
Step up and rip it. You swing hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
You swing above tour average speed, really.
I mean...
So you swing your 796 miles an hour, which is huge. That's massive, yeah.
Fucking beautiful.
That was it. Ball speed 132. Show me 186.
186 with a 7-iron.
Come on. That was it. Oh! 186!
That carried 186.
So you got what? You got clubs there?
Yeah, I got fitted for clubs. It's really amazing.
And so what did Andrew Santino say?
Santino's like, I couldn't tell, and he's so biting when he slams you.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
I couldn't tell if he was like, he didn't know that they were talking about me because he was like, fucking all this trash talk about fucking fitted clubs or whatever. I would love he. I think he plays PXGs too, and he was like, I'll show you what a real golfer looks like or something to that effect. And then I was like, oh, I have no problem spending a lot of money on a bet at all.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm certain that anyone that I am not the type of person like Andrew. Andrew is not going to talk shit unless he can back it up. He is not a fucking the Alex Jones of fitness. And so I hate that I just realized that about myself.
Yeah. But we're going to do one-on-one basketball soon.
Oh yeah, go ahead and take my shot.
Yeah, I saw it. We're
beautiful form, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful form. Oh, there's probably music.
It's at the top. Just, yeah, don't play the sound though.
Yeah, don't play the sound. Just beautiful. We were at the Now Center in
where's that?
Chicago.
That's in Chicago?
Yeah.
Wait, was the show inside?
Look at this. Oh, just how many times do you think I took this shot before we got
15?
Six.
Okay. dude, was the show inside?
No, it was outdoors.
Oh.
But we got to use their look at my meggings.
So what? How? What's your? Oh wait, I want to know your because you're the Alex Jones of fitness.
Yeah.
What's your basketball thoughts on yourself?
I play really good on the. I actually have some pretty sincere insights on my basketball.
Okay.
I think I don't like confrontation, so I don't like going hard in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much play everything from the outside.
Okay.
Try to get close as I can and. And,
but you feel good about your handling, your shooting, you feel confident.
No. I have a basketball that's traveling everywhere with me right now, and okay. I'm working on my ball handling because I got a shout out from Tristan Jass. Shout out to Tristan Jass from
Washington. And how's your shot?
Like, my shot feel, pretty beautiful. I have great form.
You have great form.
I have great form, except for the fact that I usually wear a hat and kind of fucks up. You're ow.
Yeah.
Why? Let's talk about your. See, now you'll undersell your skills in basketball.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I have not shot a basketball in so long that I can't remember, and that's not a lie. So
okay.
that's the truth. I used to play a pretty fair amount of basketball recreationally, but it's been a long, long time.
Snoop had, when we were shooting the game show, had a basketball court set up outside his trailer, but he never used it. I mean, I think he probably used it probably in the mornings when I was sleeping. And so I used to get out there in between and just shoot free throws because you know who can legit play basketball?
Who?
Oh my God, we should do 2-on-2 and we got to pick a chick.
Who's good?
Whitney fucking Cummings.
Come on. Does she play?
Whitney Cummings is an actually amazing basketball player.
She just messaged us, hey, are you guys calling me on your show? Yeah. Because I don't get the call.
Let's call her. Okay. Let's chop it up with this chick. By the way, I'm about to piss her off too because I watched that NXIVM thing.
Yeah.
She was very closely attached to... I guess the, I don't know. I just, I that, did you see the, you didn't never saw the vow, did you?
No.
You know, it's hard for me to swallow because everyone that this documentary is about, and I know that I'm fucking opening up a can of worms about not believing women or whatever, but never mind. You know what? I'm not going to say a fucking word. I'm not going to say a fucking word because it was like human trafficking. So there's like, I'm not saying, by the way, now I need to say something because people are like, Bert doesn't believe that they did. I think what the guys at NXIVM did was horrible, but I never mind. I'm fucking out of this. I'm not saying a fucking word. Remember, I didn't say anything about this, so if I get fucking canceled for it, Whitney Cummings, answer your fucking phone. Are you guys calling me or just text me? Why?
Oh, yeah.
Why would you call me? Answer your fucking phone, Whitney. Why did you not answer her phone? You know what? I bet she has intimacy issues. And this fucking buzzes her wrong.
Text me.
See? Like just it's so annoyed. It's text me.
Send her a text.
I will. Hey, Whitney, it's Bert and Tom. We want to call to you and call. Fucking goddamn it. This is why I hate. Hey, Whitney, it's Bert and Tom. We're trying to call you for our podcast. I want to talk to you about your basketball skills and NXIVM. Not the heartburn medicine, but the cult.
So she was involved with that?
She had one of the women on, by the way, the fucking head woman that started this kind of like come after the cult. She had her on her podcast after they sentenced this dude to 136 years. This guy started, I'm going to give you, ready? This is the 1 minute, give me a timer on the clock, Nadav. This is the 1 minute breakdown. Oh, Whitney Cummings. Here we go.
Oh.
Hold on. Whitney Cummings calling us back on the podcast, Whitney.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. That was a pocket dial.
Shut up, you fucking asshole.
You know what's amazing? So you were calling me, and I sent you to voicemail, and then I went, oh, wait, he might be on Two Bears, One Cave, and so I called you back. I'm only calling you back if this is live, and I'm getting more famous.
We got you, Whitney. We got you.
So we're rolling?
We're rolling. We're rolling. We have two things
this
we want to...
This is on, like, your mom's house network?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. If the audio cuts out or if any, I'm hanging up.
Okay. So number one, me and Tom were talking about basketball. We're doing a 1-on-1 competition. And I said, by the way, you know who's fucking awesome at basketball? Guess what name I said, Whitney?
Is this your, what is this bit?
It's not a bit. I was trying to compliment you.
Yes, you said me. I know. Yeah. When so, the lead.
Are you a really good basketball player?
It's weird to say because no one's going to believe me. No one believes me when I say this. And it's so unbelievable that I actually did an episode about it on my critically acclaimed network sitcom, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I saw that. Who else was in that?
Chris D'Elia was in that. America's sweetheart, Chris D'Elia.
Okay.
Keep going. Keep going.
I regret nothing. Okay. He's incredibly talented.
Okay.
Keep going.
Would have done the same thing again. Don't cut this out. Don't you dare.
I'm not cutting it out.
Don't you dare cut this out. We did an episode about me telling my boyfriend character in the show, Chris D'Elia, which is obviously fiction because I was, 25 at the time. I was way too old for him. So it was obviously not... Based on real life events.
Jesus.
But it was so unbelievable in real life that we made a show about him not believing me, and then we played one-on-one, and then I kicked his ass.
I almost passed out.
I kicked his ass in the show, but also in real life. And this is before I had to tweet, and then cut to 15 years later, me tweeting about him. It's a whole thing.
We got it.
Yes, I'm good at basketball.
Wait, okay, yeah. So did you play high school or college ball?
I played high school, and then I played AAU. Are you guys familiar
with AAU? I'm definitely familiar with AAU, yes.
Yeah, so I played AAU in Virginia, which is not a game. Virginia doesn't fuck around.
No, they don't.
It's basketball.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of like their religion.
Yeah.
And then I played in Europe.
Really?
Germany, Austria.
What?
Hungary.
I told you she's good.
I'm not even joking. It's like a pre-Olympic team. But here's the problem, guys. I am white. So we are limited at how good at basketball I am. So the better I got, the worse I got in a way, because I started getting more and more competitive teams. I was the only white girl.
Yeah.
So when I got to that level, I didn't really get to play much.
I want to strap it up with you, Whitney. We got to go to the courts.
Okay, but by the time I went to Europe, I was the minority hire.
It's all good.
Are you ready for this? You ready for this, Tom?
They're like, we have to get a white girl on the team, so I would just sort of sit on the bench and watch them play.
Hey, Whitney, we would like to film Tom and I playing one-on-one, and we need a commentator, and we were wondering if maybe we could do it at your house and you be our commentator.
Yeah, no, I would love that. And is this whole thing just for your wives to make sure that you never cheat on them?
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
Because everyone's vaginas are going to dry up when you guys play basketball.
Well, that's going to be our log line for the episode.
Yep.
Ladies, no need to wear panties today.
It's like Leanne and Christina, is this part of their master plan to make sure that no women ever want to fuck you?
Wait. Whitney, how do you know that there's not going to be slopping wet pussies when they see how good we are at basketball?
I mean, if they have a fistula from a previous childbirth, maybe, but I don't think it's going to be like pre-com, if that's your question.
I think you're going to eat your words when you see us chop it up out there.
Awesome. It was great talking to you, Whitney.
Thank you for answering, Whitney.
Oh, all right.
I love you.
I love you too, Whitney. Bye. Let's recap.
Okay.
Let's recap. By the way, have you been to that house?
No.
It is residual money.
Did you go to one of the shows there?
I haven't even been. I've been to her house twice, three times, and I have never seen all of it.
Really?
It is awesome. Like I remember we were looking at houses. So I was in the mood. We were looking at houses to buy houses. And, obviously what we were looking at was cost money. But, there was always, you were always let down a little bit.
Yeah.
I should get more for that.
Yeah.
I went to Whitney's house and I was like, oh, this is the house where you go, oh, this is exactly what you'd think you'd pay for what I wanted. But it's always 10 times more. And then she was like, I think I'm going to buy the house next door. I said, why? And she goes, I don't like having neighbors. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
That is, you forget, she created Two Broke Girls. That is a fucking hit sitcom.
She co-created it.
Yeah. Whatever.
No. I'm making the distinction because it was with the. She did it with the guy that created Sex and the City.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. That's who she co-created it with.
Yeah, but I think she went in, pitched the idea, and he was like, "I like it. Let's do it together."
I thought it was that he wanted to bring her in. See, Michael, Patrick King, and Whitney. Yeah.
By the way, I almost passed out. Did you see that?
Was that real?
Yeah, I almost passed out. I've been.
Did you walk by a horse before you got here?
No, but that thing about that NXIVM thing.
Yeah,
that's what kept.
Wait, what is the thing
off.
You said, Kanye, Jen Aniston? What was that all about?
Oh, Kanye, Jennifer Aniston lit up Kanye,
and was where?
Like, online.
What?
Pulled up. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston, Kanye. She was like, just so you know, it's not funny to vote for Kanye. And then Kanye wrote back, just so you know, Friends was never funny. And that is, and so Jennifer, she's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'd like to see a plast picture.
Hey, that's what I'm talking
Come on,
about.
Jen. You know where the Reddit subreddit is. Come on, let's do it. Okay,
hey,
voted.
Guys, just, oh my God.
I dropped
God.
My ballot off.
This
I
is
did
where
it
we
early.
Turn into harassing Jennifer Aniston.
Hold on, I just want to see what she says here. I urge you to consider the whole thing. P.S. It's not funny to vote for Kanye. I don't know how else to say it. Please be responsible. Okay.
And then Kanye wrote.
Did he comment it in there? Or what?
No, Kanye just said in his thing,
yeah.
Friends was never funny. By the way, he's wrong. Friends was fucking hilarious.
Let's see. Oh, he took to Twitter. Okay. And is that all he wrote?
Yeah.
Did you scroll down? Less and
keep scrolling. Oh. If you don't see it, it's going to be a clip. I'm sure it's a screen grab of his Twitter.
Okay. Well, anyway. By the way, there's a couple other challenge ideas that people have posted, sent us. If you want to hear them,
yeah.
For you and me.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do one-on-one basketball. We know that. We're going to... Okay, so this is what people threw at us. A spelling contest.
Ooh.
This next one you're going to like.
Okay.
Hot dog eating contest.
I could do that easy.
Three gun competition.
Three what?
Three gun.
What's that?
I don't know.
Three gun competition. Type it in. It's got to be a challenge. I just sneezed and wiped it all over. By the way, I had this nagging cough. And having a cough during COVID is like having a hard dick in a sauna going, I've got AIDS.
So rifles, shotguns, and pistols, I guess is what it is. Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. I like that. By the way, I'm a superior shot.
Hmm?
I'm a superior shot.
You are?
Oh, I'm an amazing shot. I told you I'm amazing. I'm amazing. Like, I'm amazing, and I think it throws people for a loop. You know, and you can call Joe Rogan and ask him. I took Joe skeet shooting one time.
Yeah.
And I just was, and by the way, I know Joe's going to be like, actually, I don't remember any of this, Bert, but I was skeet.
You were shooting it all.
Yeah, I was killing.
Okay. Chess, I don't think that'd be a fun challenge, but
chess is not. I don't even know how to play chess.
Oh, I know you'd love this one. Holding breath underwater challenge.
By the way, I can hold my breath for a minute 45.
Okay. This next one I feel like you have an advantage in. Beer pong.
Oh, wow, Tom. That actually is a great idea because I don't have an advantage in beer pong, but I think I could.
I think you can connect with the elements pretty well.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And then track day at Laguna.
Like, track day at Laguna would be fucking great.
That'd be great.
Should we do a straight up decathlon or a
track day is driving a car.
Oh,
racetrack.
Thought we were running.
Yeah.
Track day.
Yeah.
I'm pretty superior in motorsports.
No.
And I'll tell you why. I think I have more experience than you do.
Well, you're a few years older than me.
Not just driving cars. I've driven on a lot of tracks, like drift tracks. I've done a lot of that for Travel Channel.
Uh-huh.
So I'm pretty confident.
Okay. I'll take you up on that bet.
Let's do that. Let's definitely do track day.
So the way we would do it, you got to drive the same cars, you know?
Oh, why wouldn't I just drive a faster one? So you drive the same cars. How does it work? How would a track
go? There's different ways we could do it. You could do a straight up race, right? But it's probably a little more dangerous. But we could do like lap times.
I'm still, you know? I have pain in my side because my cameraman, John Manns, hit me with his car because I was destroying him. And we were doing those, you know, we could do, we don't have to do real cars. We can do those go-karts.
We could do that.
Because those go like 65 miles an hour.
They do?
The ones we were just at go, shit. We were just at it in Colorado.
Yeah. Did you win?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I beat everyone. Yeah. I beat everyone three times. But I didn't cheat, but I just paid attention to the track.
I got a lead, by the way, on a indoor court for us.
Oh, really?
For the basketball, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I thought indoor courts are more fun to play basketball in.
So wait, what do you think your strength is in basketball?
Just that I played it quite a bit, and I'm definitely better at basketball.
Did you play in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, you played on the team?
Mm-hmm.
See, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school. We had, like, it was harder to get on the team.
I went to co-ed school.
Yeah, co-ed school, of course.
Yeah, so it was like guys
half
and girls.
Half the people were chicks.
Yeah, yeah. So,
there's already beat half the people on the team.
The team was like mostly, boys and girls.
Yeah. Did you have black people at your school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind.
They were tall.
We didn't have black people at our school.
You didn't?
We had one, Kari.
I remember.
No, we had more than one, but in my grade, it was just Kari.
I remember going to the gym one time, because I transferred high schools. And when I was at this big high school, this dude, who was a junior in high school, cupped the ball and did a reverse windmill dunk, and I was like, oh my god.
Wait, did you start on your high school team?
Yeah, but I only played for the first couple of years, so I played JV.
Oh, and then you played football?
Yeah.
Was in your high school you could only play like one sport?
No, you could play more. You could play more.
In our high school you could play more, but you had to be
I played a lot star. Of basketball after high school.
Really?
Yeah, I used to play
like courts and stuff?
Courts, and then I go to play pickup games in like the rec gym, and then when I moved to LA, that was the first thing that I did.
Okay, let's real quick. If you had to just based off of nothing but just gut instinct,
yeah,
who would be your starting five as comedians?
What are you talking about?
Just pick a team. We'll go back and forth for if we're doing a 5-on-5 basketball.
5-on-5.
5-on-5.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. I guarantee you Santino's fucking good at basketball.
He's a good athlete.
So. Is he a good athlete?
Yeah, I think
he's got
red
hair, though. It's like,
yeah, it sucks.
Like, you only get one of those, Andy Dalton, a decade.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he's a good athlete.
How many great redheaded athletes are there?
Think about it. I think about Dalton, and then...
That's it.
No, there's got to be a couple other ones.
Name great redheaded athletes.
There you go. Sean White. Yeah, okay. Bill Walton. Mark McGuire. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
There's a lot of them. Boris Becker. Okay, now this starts to fall... Blake Griffin?
I mean, I guess he's got, little bits of it.
Okay, now it starts to fall off. So technically, there's only three.
Right.
There's only...
I got to take a shit.
Hold on. We're having fun right now.
I still have to shit.
Okay, but give me a sec. Okay.
Paul Morrissey, the comic.
You're picking him?
Yeah.
Okay, you start with him.
Yeah, he's a point guard for me.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
You said you're...
Yeah. God damn it. Whose dad was the fucking coach? Jason Lawhead?
Yeah.
Jason Lawhead.
So that's your point guard.
Yeah, I'm picking Lawhead.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, you're picking Morrissey. I'm picking Lawhead.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Then let's see here. I'm going to take... I'll take Gary Goldman.
God damn it. That's who I was going to fucking take.
Yeah.
All right. If you're taking Gary Goldman, I feel like Alonzo Bowden would be really
damn
good.
Damn it. I was going to take
Alonzo Bowden. I'm taking Alonzo Bowden.
All right. Yeah.
Right now, Alonzo's like, Bert, I never play basketball. I'm just black. You're racist. I'm into motorcycles. I've never played basketball my entire life.
They could guard each other, but I think I'll go just for some extra length on the court and get Kirk Fox too. He's a tennis player, but I just know he's athletic, so at the worst he's going to be able to guard somebody.
Can I tell you who I think I and I'm just basing this off of his body?
Yeah.
Jeff Dye.
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna pick Jeff Dye.
Okay.
Who's the obvious one we're forgetting? Are we just doing LA comics right now? We should just do LA comics so we can make it happen if we want to do it.
Well, I mean, Goldman's in New York.
Okay, well, keep going.
Let's see here. Who else?
There's definitely people I'm not thinking of.
I know. Me too, man. Owen Smith.
God damn it. Fuck. I'll keep my... my brain keeps doing? Cat Williams. That's fucking the worst pick. who would I, God damn it. I'm trying to think of my brain is limited right now on who's.
Yeah.
Like I can't even think of comics because we've been away from the store for so long.
I know. It's rough. Oh. Okay. It's your pick.
Oh, fuck. I feel like my team's falling apart on me. I don't know. Just give me your... Tell me the one you were going to pick.
Oh, okay. Whitney Cummings.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. You got Whitney. I got it. There's got to be another...
She's tall. My shooting guard.
There's got to be... Who's... I'll take Amy Schumer because she hates Whitney.
Oh, good.
You know, they just, at some point, the fucking female energy is just boxing each other out. And
of course.
Tit to tit in the fucking paint.
I think Whitney's going to win this battle, though. You're one short, though.
I'm one short. Well, yeah. I'll give you my next pick on next week's episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, take your time. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching. By the way, by the time this comes out, we already have the election's been decided, and we like skated over.
Wait, am I not on next week's episode?
No.
Is Nadav really trying to force me out of this show?
Let's talk.
Who's
about
on next week's episode? Tim Dillon?
Yeah,
that's gonna be a big episode for us.
Well, I mean,
he just was on.
Yeah. All right, we gotta run. Love you. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.